Today, I want to show you some technology I've been experimenting with that I don't think is just going to change the video game industry forever. I think it's going to change the movie industry forever. I think it's going to change a lot of things forever. And what I also want to show you today is how this system isn't just capable of being applied to video games. You can also apply this system to real life. Over here, I have an AI post-process filter. Now, I did a video the other day showing this technology with Unreal Engine. But the craziest thing is you can use this filter for real life as well. So if I want this to be on fire, if I want this to be a ball of ice, if I want this to be, I don't know, a ball of light, I can make it all of those things. But in reality, it's just a dryer ball. Now, the longer you watch this video, the crazier things are going to get. And if you're interested in learning how to create effects like this yourself, you can join our Discord server. Link is down in the description. But the thing is, as you all saw in my previous video, AI video generation is getting to a point where it can run in real time. The AI Minecraft game came out, and there is no game engine in that. It is just a real-time simulation of Minecraft running with a AI video generator. And as time goes on, we are going to see the exact same things being utilized just like this, running in real time, whether for video games or movies, I don't know. But all I do know is the more that I learn this technology and the more I experiment with it, the more it blows my mind. And I am going to show you a number of the incredible things that I have been experimenting with over the last couple of months. So let's start with one of my favorite things to show off, which is fluid simulation. I've done a whole bunch of fluid simulation videos on this channel. If you haven't seen those, go check them out. And in Unreal Engine, there's a number of different plugins and pieces of technology that people have made that simulate fluid dynamics. And when I first started playing around with artificial intelligent post-processors, I was like, man, I wonder how far we could push this. And one of the first things that jumped into my mind was, I wonder if it can simulate fluid physics. Here is an empty glass. As you can see, there's nothing in it. But when I run it through a post-processor, I can say, hey, fill this glass with water. And as you can see, now it has water in it. Now, that's not particularly impressive, but you want to know what is significantly more impressive? Let's say we have two glasses of water. And if I have this post-processor running, I can literally take this glass and pour it into the other glass. And I just want to remind everybody, there is nothing in these glasses. This is 100% a post-process simulation. So just keep that in mind while you're watching this. And the AI post-processor actually understands that I am pouring water from one glass into another, which is absolutely insane. Now, naturally, as a game developer, when I started realizing what you could use this for, I immediately started using games in order to create environments that you could apply these AI filters too. And honestly, video games are almost like the perfect thing to combine with AI post-processors because you can control the environment, you can do all sorts of different stuff. But the more that I experimented, the more I started to realize that these AI post-processors weren't just creating pretty effects. On some level, these AI post-processors were actually doing physics simulations. And I started to notice this when I was combining generative AI models with Unreal Engine. And here is a demo scene that I put together. We're going to take this glass, and we're going to use this camera to get footage of this glass and direct the AI to fill this glass up with whiskey. And when we tell it to do that, it will actually simulate the glass filling up with this volumetric liquid that it is pouring. And I know that there's going to be some people who are going to say, oh, it's just an effect, it's just AI, it's not actually volumetric fluid simulation. But here's the problem with that statement. The issue is, for anything to create a convincing simulation or a convincing illusion of fluid dynamics or any kind of real-world physics, that thing, that system, creating those simulations, creating those illusions, in order for it to be able to do that, it has to have, it has to have, it would be impossible for it to do this without this being true, it has to have at least some real understanding of actual physics. And that is what I am proposing here. I am proposing that a lot of these AI models that are now floating throughout the internet, that we are training on video, that we are training to give the ability for them to generate convincing, realistic videos and now convincing effects like this, I am proposing that a lot of these AI models are inadvertently in the process of trying to generate video. I believe they are inadvertently picking up the ability to simulate actual physics. I think we are inadvertently creating AI physics engines. We have to be, because this wouldn't be possible otherwise. This right here is an AI-generated effect. This is something that maybe you could do in Unreal Engine, maybe, or Unity, if you created a particle system that was really good. But there's no particle system here. In the same way that with AI Minecraft, there's no game engine. There is no particle system here. There is no VFX system. This is an AI model creating these flames on my hand. And I would say they look pretty convincing, don't you? I mean, look at them closely. I mean, look at this closely. Look at how the flames work. And this is also one of the issues that I have when people say that AI just steals footage from other movies or videos in order to create the footage that it creates. Because there might be someone that says, oh, well, you know, this effect, this footage isn't real. It's just stealing this from some other movie or some other video and then copy and pasting that work onto my hand. But you have to understand, the movements of my hand are completely random. It wouldn't matter what the AI was trained on. It would not be able to create this effect without some kind of actual basic understanding of physics. It wouldn't be possible. So to wrap this video up, I want to show some examples of this system being surgically applied to some actual gameplay. And while what I am showing is still a rough prototype, I still hope that it illustrates the concept, because the way that you can use this AI isn't by affecting every single thing in the environment. What you can do is you can create targeted effects that only affect one part of the body or one part of the environment. And that is how I believe this will likely be used in video games or in movies going forward. It's not going to just be one giant effect across the entire screen. You can use AI to target parts of the environment. You could even use this inside of the game itself to generate something that renders in the 3D world, but that single face or that single part of the environment is actually generated. So I hope you guys think that this stuff is interesting. I hope that you think that it's impressive. I certainly do. It's one of the primary reasons that I decided to go to graduate school and study machine learning. But I think more than anything, this technology has the potential to allow more studios to create more realistic environments than ever before, with tool sets and workflows that used to only be accessible to huge big budget AAA corporations, and now it's going to be accessible to everyone. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Well, I guess it all depends on your perspective. Me personally, the way I look at it is like this. When you look at the industry, is the objective of the industry to make money, or is the objective of the industry to make the best product possible? I mean, in a way, it's both, but I would say predominantly the primary purpose of an industry is to make the best product possible for as little amounts of energy resources possible. That is the name of the game. And I think a lot of these tools are going to facilitate levels of efficiency where studios will be able to create more hyper-realistic games and movies for budgets that used to be virtually impossible. And I would say for your average consumer who just wants to play super realistic games and watch super realistic movies that are of high quality, that's going to be a good thing. And as you can see, there's a billion different types of technologies that I could show in this video, but I only have so much time. And if you want to see all the other stuff that I've been working with and seeing, make sure you subscribe. I'll show that to you later. But I think a really great piece of technology to kind of forecast the future a little bit is going to be this right here. And I'm assuming that you probably believe that this entire time you've been looking at an image. And what if I told you this is not actually an image? What if I told you this is a 3D model that was captured from a real-life camera? This is a capture technique called Gaussian splatting, and it's very, very good at capturing photorealistic environments or assets that you can get using video or images just with your iPhone camera. In fact, most iPhone cameras now are more advanced than even the most advanced cameras for photogrammetry a decade prior. So almost anyone now can go out and get Gaussian splat maps like this that look absolutely photorealistic. Now, the thing about Gaussian splatting is it looks good at a distance, but as soon as you zoom in, you'll start to notice that it breaks down. And that's because Gaussian splatting is based on a point cloud. It's not a static mesh like most game-ready objects that you see in video games that are highly optimized and performant. This is a different system that's easy to capture from the real world, but when you actually load it up, you're not going to be able to run a whole bunch of these in a video game without the video game crashing your computer. And in order to convert something like this into a static mesh that is highly optimized and game ready, typically you would have to hire someone to go through and do the very mundane, repetitive task of taking this and converting it into a static mesh. But let me tell you, if there is one thing that AI is very good at, is slightly technical, yet very mundane, repetitive tasks. In the coming years, probably the coming months, you are going to get to the point where you are going to be able to capture hyper-realistic assets from anywhere, using your phone, using anything with a sufficiently advanced camera. And you will be able to capture all of the tiny details of that thing, of that system. In fact, even these scans, if you were to look at all of the tiny issues when you actually zoom in, when we were showing the previous environment with a giant church, right? The tiny little details were kind of fuzzy, but as you get closer, you can actually get higher resolution images and higher resolution 3D models as long as you actually take enough pictures. So this means that you could go in here and you could get all of the different pictures of these engine parts and all of these different things, and it would be higher resolution. AI is going to get very, very good at converting assets just like this into a game-ready 3D model. Now, there are some things about 3D assets that take a little bit of creative work. The topology, the way you organize the mesh, the way that you optimize it, not just for the game, but maybe even for other creators who are going to have to work with that asset as well. Those are things that require at least a decent level of creativity and a technical-minded approach. But as I've shown you with a lot of other things, that is something that AI is progressively getting better at. It is not just a simple automation system. It has at least moderate levels of creativity and moderate levels of technical mindedness. And these kinds of tasks, converting Gaussian splat maps into usable game-ready assets, is going to be absolutely huge in the coming months, most likely. When you look at games like Battlefield, which have had huge teams dedicated to creating this massive photogrammetry library for their video games, those video games look photorealistic because of all of the work they did with those photogrammetry assets. But the vast majority of studios out there do not have the manpower, do not have the resources to take advantage of that. In the coming years, they will. In the coming years, you are going to be able to have indie games that are going to be able to create Quixel quality, AAA quality, photorealistic environments using scans from the real world that they create themselves, not even using assets from a marketplace with tools where you can convert real life Gaussian splats or other kinds of scans into game ready assets using AI. And when that day comes, I think we are going to see an absolute explosion of photorealistic game content. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I don't really know. It's really up to your perspectives on the matter, but that is where this is all going. So if you want to check this out, if you want to check out the things that I've talked about, if you want to learn how to do this, if you want to get links to all of these Gaussian splat maps so you can explore this for yourself, I will have our Discord community linked down in the description. That is our community where we focus on learning about all of this highly technical stuff. I have a lot of people who I go to graduate school with who are in that Discord community and other enthusiasts. So if you want to check that out, links down in the description. And if you think this is cool, as I do, make sure you subscribe, and hopefully I'll see you in the next video. All right, take care.